This is the Bigger Pockets Podcast, show 40.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Stay tuned and be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
What's going on, everybody? This is Josh Dworkin, host of the Bigger Pockets Podcast, here with Brandon Turner, as always. What's up, Brandon?
What's up, Josh? Things are good.
Things are good. I'm doing well. Yeah, I know you asked.
I always do, don't I? Today is the Over the Hill podcast, though, so it's more important than you or I.
It is. It is. And you know, I'm getting close to being over the hill, approaching 40. And
I'm approaching the hill, but...
You're approaching the foothills, my friend. You are a young guy who's got a long ways to go.
Long ways.
Yes. Anyway, so this is our 40th episode, and you know, we've done some amazing shows, man. I mean, our first show with Marty Boardman was especially exciting, you know, kicking the thing off, and then we did the Ultimate Beginner Show, which was just you and I. I think our most popular show so far was probably Arthur Garcia's show about, what was it, working a full-time job.
And I think we're actually going to cover that again today as well.
We are. And then I think, Aaron Mazzarillo's was probably the second most popular show that we've done. But yeah, you know, we want to thank, first of all, everybody who's been a guest on our show so far. We really appreciate the time and energy you guys have put in. And we appreciate everybody for listening. The show's going great and you know, we're continuing to get lots of great ratings, reviews, things like that on iTunes. If you haven't yet done so already, please do jump on iTunes and share your feedback. And do jump on the show notes afterwards at biggerpockets.com/show40. And if you've got any questions, comments, thoughts, or anything like that, interact with us. But today's show, as you may have deduced, is a little different because we actually don't have a guest today. Instead, we are going to, in honor of this being our 40th show, we're going to talk about 40
quick tips
for buying your first or next deal.
But don't worry, we're not going to be singing quick tip every time. Don't worry.
No. So why don't we just jump into this, because 40 tips is going to take some time, so we're really going to need to speed through it. Since we can't go into incredible detail, we do really encourage you guys to jump into the comments on those show notes, and we'll be there engaging in those conversations. Also, if you're an experienced investor, we really want to encourage you to jump into the show notes and leave your own quick tips for others as well. This way, those listening to the show in the future can go to the show notes and find much more than the 40 tips that we've already mentioned.
Cool.
Passive income without the property headache? It's possible. There's a way to invest passively in real estate and get monthly income without any tenants, maintenance, or property management. The Wealthy have been doing this for years, and if you're an accredited or high net worth investor, you too can collect cash flow without the headaches that come from owning rentals. How? By investing in a private real estate fund with PPR Capital Management. PPR's co-founder, Dave Van Horn, wrote the book on real estate note investing for BP. But he's not just investing in notes. Dave and his team also have an extensive background in commercial real estate. And with PPR Capital Management, they're strategically investing in both notes and commercial real estate nationwide. With over $500 million in assets under management, PPR has provided individuals with a steady source of truly passive income since 2007 without ever missing a payment. Check them out at investwithppr.com. Again, if you're looking to get monthly passive income from an experienced team with a strong track record, go to investwithppr.com today. You might think you want real estate, but that's not true. What you really want is passive income. With new investors struggling to find deals or get enough money to buy them and veteran landlords tired of the constant tenant phone calls, is there a better alternative? Actually, there is. Short notes from ConnectInvest. ConnectInvest is an online investing platform that allows you to easily participate in passive real estate investing, and all you need is $500 to start. Short notes collectively funds a diversified portfolio of commercial and residential real estate projects across acquisition, construction, and development phases. You'll earn a fixed monthly income without the hassle of owning or managing real estate. Head to ConnectInvest.com/BP to create your account. Fund your digital wallet with at least $500. Select from 6, 12, and 24-month short notes with annualized return rates up to 9%. Then sit back and let your monthly returns roll in. Join today by visiting connectinvest.com/VP. Connectinvest.com/VP.
Top real estate investors love to talk about how they save so much on taxes. But how are they able to build rental property empires while skirting Uncle Sam? 1031 exchanges. 1031 exchanges allow you to defer capital gains taxes while you sell an investment property, exchanging your old property for a bigger, better one and avoiding the tax man while you do it. And that's where First American Exchange Company comes in. They're the leaders in 1031 exchanges. Whether you're a seasoned investor or just starting, First American Exchange can help you with simple rental property exchanges, complex commercial real estate investments, reverse exchanges, and more. Don't let your taxes eat into your profits. Visit First American Exchange Company at firstexchange.com or call them at 800-556-2520. That's firstexchange.com or 800-556-2520. Keep your money in your pocket and propel your portfolio further at firstexchange.com. First American Exchange Company does not provide tax or legal advice. Consult your financial, real estate, tax, or legal advisor about your circumstances. First American Exchange Company. Safe, smart, secure.
All right, well, that sounds good. Should we get going?
Yeah, let's do it, man. Enough chitty chat.
All right, so get your papers and pencils out. Here we go.
Papers?
Paper, pencil, notebook.
I think paper. Keyboard. Is the plural of paper, isn't it?
Papers. Papers. I don't know, is it?
Papers refers to like a... it's paper is plural of paper.
All right, fine. Well, thank you for publicly correcting and
humiliating
me. I believe
so. That's okay. That's what I like to do. It's fun.
All right, good deal. All right, let's start this off. Number one tip is to look at a lot of properties because you don't actually know how good a deal is until you analyze a whole bunch of them. I mean, I'm a firm believer in this, that, you know, the whole like look at 100, offer on 10 and buy one rule, a lot of people say. I like that rule because, yeah, if you don't look at a whole bunch of properties and you just go and buy the first one you look at, there's a good chance you're going to screw something up. So,
yeah. And that'll give you the experience to better understand what the numbers really mean.
That is true.
Yeah, for sure. Cool. All right. Tip number two, find a good agent. So there's over a million agents in the United States, real estate agents, of course, but only a small percentage know anything about real estate investments. That's no disparagement on the others, but most agents really don't go and put in the time to understand real estate investing. Ideally, it's good to find somebody who understands how to work with investors and maybe owns some rental property of their own. So when you're hunting for agents, you want to ask them that, you know, find out, hey, have you worked with investors? You know, how do you do that? You know, what's your process? Do you own your own rental properties? You know, what's your criteria? Things like that to get a feel for their understanding. So definitely want to look for a good investor-friendly agent. That said, really quickly, if you know other agents who are not investor-friendly yet, but you think would be amazing at it, definitely want to have them check out our agent's guide, which is this guide that Brandon and I collaborated on. And it is the ultimate guide for agents working with real estate investors, something like that title.
Yeah. Like that.
And you can go to that at biggerpockets.com/agent guide. We'll also have a link in the show notes. So that's tip number two.
All right. Quip. I just made up the word quip. Quip number three is to line up your financing early. If you start looking at properties and you can't actually buy a property, you're going to be wasting a lot of people's time, including that agent that you just got. So this is a thing that I've stumbled on several times in my career. So definitely get your financing lined up today, whether it's a traditional loan, cash, portfolio lender, private money, whatever. Just figure it out and do it.
Nice. All right. Tip number four. How to find good lenders. I'll tell you one way not to do it is just to go posting on the forums that you're looking for a loan. Don't post on our forums. Don't post on Craigslist. Don't just post it anywhere. Instead, get to know other local investors in your area and find out who they're using. If you're looking for hard money, of course, be sure to check out the Bigger Pockets Hard Money Lender directory at biggerpockets.com/hardmoneylenders. For the web's largest collection of hard money lenders. I think we now have over 300 lenders there. And so definitely check that out. If you're looking for traditional or portfolio loans, one of the best ways to find them is simply by picking up the phone and making a ton of calls. I remember in show number 6, biggerpockets.com/show6, Arthur Garcia talked about how he found his portfolio lender by picking up the phone book and making a ton of calls. So definitely don't be afraid to start those lending conversations today, even if you aren't quite ready to go ahead and buy.
Yeah, I agree. All right. Before we go too far in the show, let's take a second and let everyone know this is show 40. Again, reminder. So if you want to go to the show notes, biggerpockets.com/show40.
Nice, nice. And before we go on, guys, today's special not only because we're celebrating our 40th episode, but also because we're introducing our first sponsor of the show, which is, you know, it's kind of a big deal, I think.
Yeah.
Now, before you guys start freaking out over having a sponsor, I just want to let you guys all know that the show takes a lot of time and energy, which could,
yeah, it does. You know,
yes, as Brandon chuckles in the background over all the hours he spends editing and scheduling and everything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just come here to talk, really.
I mean, you do a little more than that.
That's okay. All right. So, yeah, listen, and with the sponsor thing, we're not going to have sponsors that we don't know or believe in. You know, our idea is let's get companies and folks who are part of our community, who we trust and who we, you know, who we know and like, and who are doing things that we think are a good fit for you.
And things that will bring value to the community. So
yeah. Nice. And bring those guys on board. So let me give our first sponsor just a quick shout out for being so awesome in supporting this episode. Chances are, you know, the company already, and you've actually seen them interacting on the site on a daily basis, on our blog, on a Bigger Pockets blog, on the forums. And these guys were also sponsors of the Bigger Pockets Summit last year. So MemphisInvest.com is a family-owned turnkey real estate company with offices in Memphis, Tennessee and Dallas, Texas. They were named Small Business of the Year by the Memphis Business Journal and is one of America's fastest-growing companies by Inc. magazine in 2013. If you're interested in passive investments or even learning how to buy real estate in solid cash flow cities, contact MemphisInvest.com for a free consultation. They have nearly $250 million in real estate value under management, comprised of 2,000 properties for 800-plus investors. If you guys want to check out more about Memphis Invest, go to blog.memphisinvest.com/BP.
Cool. And we actually did interview Chris Clothier here on the show a couple months ago. I think it was episode 26. So it was an awesome episode.
Yeah, definitely. And Chris is a good friend of mine as well. And I'm kind of honored to have him as a sponsor. This this decision didn't come lightly to bring sponsors on, and they've been great to work with. So yeah. We'll have a link in the show notes as well. And again, it's blog.memphisinvest.com/BP.
Cool. Let's move on. All right. Tip number 5 is to learn to do the math right. Because honestly, the math is not very hard, but it does take practice. If you guys know me, you know I'm always harping on this. If you want to see a really detailed analysis of how I analyze a property, I'm going to put a link in the show notes also to a post I wrote called How I Quickly Analyze an Investment Property. So again, speaking of math, let's go to tip number 6.
Tip number six is the Bigger Pockets analysis tool. It's not really a tip, but it's kind of a feature. That's...
Well, the tip is go there.
Yeah, that is the tip.
Go there.
Yeah, go there. All right. So go check out the Bigger Pockets analysis tool. We've got a flipping calc out today, and the buy and hold calculator is very soon to be on its way for delivery. Not only do these calculators help you analyze a deal in its entirety, they also try to show you how the numbers were calculated. So you can get to it by going to biggerpockets.com/calc. But keep in mind, anyone who's a Bigger Pockets member could go test those things out a few times. But if you want to use them on a continual basis and be able to print out PDF reports to give to lenders, partners, or others, you do need to be a Pro or Pro Basic member. And you can upgrade to those accounts at biggerpockets.com/pro.
Cool. So, all right. So let's talk some more about that math. Number 7, the 70% rule. I'm sure you've heard of it before. Basically, that means... this is something that flippers or wholesalers might use. Basically, you take your after repair value, what the thing's worth when it's all fixed up, and multiply that times 0.7 and then subtract out the repairs. So take 70% of the ARV and subtract out your repairs. And that's a good general way to kind of estimate how much you should offer. It's not a end-all, be-all number, but it's a good estimate.
Nice. All right, tip number 8. If you're a buy and hold investor or are trying to analyze a buy and hold deal, make sure you're using the 50% rule to make sure this property cash flows. So the 50% rule basically says 50% of your income is going to go out in non-mortgage expenses. In other words, if you've got $1,000 in rent, you're talking about $500 in expenses. So if your mortgage were $400, you can estimate about $100 a month in cash flow. We're going to have links in the show notes to some good 50% rule articles and videos. The 50% rule is just that. It's a rule to, you know, it's kind of a safety net to help folks find cash flow properties.
Yeah. And when I started out, I did not know about the 50% rule. And I honestly like screwed up and I bought some properties that I probably shouldn't have, because they, even though they seem like they cash flow, they really don't, because there's all those expenses you don't expect. So anyway, yeah.
And I think the key there is really just having an understanding of what all the expenses are that come into play with a rental property, things like capex and vacancy rates and things like that, stuff that most new investors and agents who don't have the experience, they usually ignore. So yep, learn it.
All right, the next one is the 1% rule or the 2% rule. You guys probably have heard these numbers. There's a lot of arguments about it. So basically what it means is the percentage of monthly income compared to the total purchase price. So before you get too confused, what that means is if a property sells for $100,000, the 1% rule says it should rent for $1,000 a month, or the 2% rule says it should rent for $2,000 a month. Does that make sense? Am I saying that good, Josh?
You're saying it good.
All right. So the 1% rule is 1% of the purchase price per month. So in a lot of areas, honestly, the 2% rule is completely impossible to find. And people complain about that. And even 1% is impossible in some areas. And some people say, well, you shouldn't pay attention to that. But I don't know. Honestly, for me, like which one, 1%, 2%, how much you should pay. It, you know, it's up to debate and where you live. But anything I've ever bought in my life that fit the 1% rule only, it is not a good cash flowing property for me. Like I really, those are the ones that I regret and say, yeah, they don't give me any income, because it seems like they should, but they really don't. So I personally stick to the 2% or as close as I can get to it. Yeah. But I'm a cash flow guy, so that's what I do.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a 2% guy as well. Yeah. And in fact, there are some markets, if you listen to our podcast with Dawn Anastasi, yeah. She's up in Milwaukee and she goes for 3% deals, which are,
that's awesome.
Pretty sexy.
Yeah.
Pretty
sexy. I have to say, I am getting my first 3% deal right now. I should close in about 2 weeks.
Nice. So, yeah, nice.
I'm pumped. All right.
That's great.
All right.
Well, that
so
brings
ahead.
Us to number 10, right?
Yeah.
Number 10 is make sure cash flows.
Yeah.
Don't buy negative cash flowing properties unless you're uber rich and have another agenda with the property. Even then, frankly, I don't know. I mean, yeah. I think if you're betting on appreciation, you're gambling. So, you know.
Yeah,
I don't know. As a buy and hold investor, personally, I see no reason to buy a property that is not cash flowing. I know a lot of people do it. They explain why they do it. It makes sense to them, and it just doesn't work for me. So anyway, make sure if you buy a cash flow, a rental property that is trying to bring income in, that it cash flows.
Yeah, good. All right, number 11 is to use Craigslist to get rent comps to see what other properties are renting for. So people often wonder, you know, is this property going to rent for $500 or $600 or $700? Well, Craigslist is really, I think, at least in my area, like the best way to do that. I mean, some people say use Zillow, but in my area, Zillow isn't as accurate as Craigslist, because Craigslist is so current. It's like updated every day. So, and they do have a map feature too. So you can actually look at a map and see all the properties for rent in a certain area. You can get a really good idea of how much possible rent is.
There you have it. Good stuff. Good stuff. All right. Number 12, don't use the pro forma numbers given out by the selling agent. Oftentimes you'll find that selling agents tend to, I'd say what? Inflate the numbers.
Inflate.
Just a little bit. Nice. Just a little bit. Yeah. So verify and definitely double, maybe triple check the information being provided to you.
Yeah. I find that a lot with rental properties. They'll say, you know, it'll be a triplex for sale, and they'll say each of these units will rent for $850 a month. And I know for a fact,
they will rent for $850.
Yeah. Like I'm getting like $450.
They'll rent it for $400, but they will rent for $850.
Yeah. Yeah. That's you really got to watch those numbers, because agents, again, they don't know a lot of times what a place will rent for. They just pull out a number out of somewhere And yeah, all right, moving on.
This is not so 40, the bag on agent show.
I love agents. I do. I just, yeah. All right. Number 13, when running your numbers, be conservative. Do not let emotions cloud your judgment. Like, for example, I don't think repairs will be that much since the house looks nice, or I don't need a budget for vacancy because then, units are easy to rent here.
Yeah, that's the ticket.
Yeah, it's easy. So anyway, budget conservatively. And again, that's what makes a 50% rule so important, because a 50% rule helps you budget conservatively.
Yep, absolutely. All right. Well, speaking of budgeting, Brandon, budget Brandon.
Another nickname.
There you go. Yeah. All right. So let's talk about budgeting for repairs. If you are brand new at this, I definitely recommend always doubling your repair budget and doubling your timeline, and see then if it makes sense, particularly on these rehab properties. I know we've covered that in a bunch of our other shows. And, especially as new guys, it's really hard to get it right. It's really, really hard to get it right. And if you're safe and you double the budget, the odds of you screwing up that bad are lower. So,
It is like, and people wonder, like, they think I'm kind of kidding when I always say that on the forums, is double your budget. They think I'm kind of joking, but I'm really not. Like, double your budget, and if you still can make a profit, you're probably okay going forward. So, all right. Anybody probably. Yeah. Number 15, if you are getting bids from contractors, get at least 3 of them. And then do your due diligence on the contractor, because honestly, a contractor can make or break a deal, and they're one of the most important people on your team. So actually, quick, interesting story. This morning, actually, I got up at 6 a.m. and had to go work at one of my rental properties because my contractor dropped the ball and never finished, and the tenants are moving in this. They moved in this morning, and there was like a couple minor things. Like, I had to move the fridge from the left hand to the right hand side. And anyway, yeah, he never showed up. He just stopped calling. Yeah, it was my fault. I paid him before he was done with the last hour of work. I know. That should be a tip, too. It's not in here, but don't pay your contractor till they're 100% done, not 99.9. Anyway, yeah. Terrible.
Yeah, that's why you were late for work.
That's why I was late for work.
All right. Well, tip 16. When getting started, you'll be shocked at how much some contractors charge. Speaking of contractors, of course. In my mind, there's 3 categories of contractors. You got the low-end cheap guys who are usually working under the table. Then there's the expensive guys who are like the Finnish carpenters who charge $500 to screw in a light bulb and another $500 to put the flashing above the light bulb. Because they're just, they're used to working with rich homeowners and things like that. You probably are not looking for either of those guys. Who you want really are the middle guys. These are the guys who do very good work at a fair price, but it's not always easy to find them. So let's go to tip number 17 here. 17 is the next one, for an idea on how exactly to find these mid-level, really high-quality guys.
All right, so this was from the episode that we interviewed Jay Scott on, and he said to go to Home Depot at like 6 in the morning and find out who's there getting materials. You're going to get business cards, strike up a conversation, talk with these guys. Those are the ones that are getting up early and actually doing the work. He said that's a really good way, and I love that idea. So,
or just ask other real estate investors. It's true that some investors might try to hold on to their contractors and not share them. Stingy, Brandon.
I tell everyone.
Yeah, that's why you don't have any good contracts.
That's probably why. Yeah, use this guy; he's great.
Yes, and then he's awesome. Yeah, where is he? Why isn't he answering my call? But listen, so most investors love to give out referrals because they want to help out, and it makes them look good. So reach out to other investors and see if they've got recommendations. And that is number 18.
That was so. Number 19 is, if you are brand new at this, do not skip your professional inspection before buying a property. I mean, even if you're not new, even if you're experienced, I don't recommend skipping it. But, especially if you're new, make sure you pay the money. It's like usually $300 or $400 to get a good professional inspection. And definitely do it.
Nice. Tip number 20. We're halfway there, huh? Tip number 20 is when you've got that inspection, go with the inspector. Actually go and be there and be present for the physical inspection. follow him around like Brandon, like a lost little puppy, and and ask a million questions. These guys, and we actually had we had an inspector.
We did. It was appraiser.
Oh, it was an appraiser.
Yeah, you know, close enough.
Wah, wah. All right, we haven't had an inspector. But anyway, follow your inspector around. Those guys have a crazy amount of knowledge. And since you're paying them anyways, you might as well get to know the property you're about to buy. And you're definitely going to pick up some tips and tricks to help you out on future investments. So show up and be there.
Definitely. All right. So the rest of these tips for the second latter half of the show are kind of in categories. So the first category we're going to talk about is off-market properties and kind of marketing. So we already talked about the agent thing. So let's talk about off-market. So tip number 21, driving for dollars. This can be a really, really good way to get started if you do not have a lot of money for marketing. It means get in your car and drive and find some neighborhoods or communities that you want to focus on and the price ranges you're interested in, and just drive around and look for vacant lots or vacant property or whatever. And there's actually a few really, really good articles on the blog that I'll link to in the show notes that give kind of a step-by-step detail on what to do when driving for dollars. So yeah, well, those will be in the show notes at biggerpockets.com/show40.
Yeah, I actually think that's probably one of the most important jobs a new investor can possibly do. I know the first time I bought a property, I didn't know what driving for dollars was. I literally just got in a car. I was like, hey, I need to find a property. This is the area that makes sense. And I went up and down every single block, you know, got to know the properties, the pricing, you know, features, things like that. And you know, by the time it was all said and done, and it took a good number of days to do that, I had such a great understanding of the area. I could tell you, you know, if somebody was overpriced or underpriced, you know, I could tell you rent rates. I knew everything.
Yeah, so, and now today it's even better with the smartphones we have. I mean, you can take a picture of a house and it'll tell you all the information about it with a couple apps. So anyway, cool stuff.
Yes. Yeah. We didn't have smartphones when I was doing this. You're right.
No, you had like the rock and the stone wall, I think it was.
You can't see, but I'm eyeballing him right now.
He is eyeballing me. Let's go on to number 22.
Number 22, if you've got some money for marketing, one of the most popular strategies out there and effective strategies is direct mail. Direct mail is the process of sending out letters or postcards to a huge number of people, hoping that a small percentage will respond. Typically, you do want to target those folks to specific criteria. Say you're targeting folks in probate or divorce or things like that. The most common type of direct mail is either postcards or yellow letters. And usually they have a very simple, I want to buy your house for cash message on them. Yellow letters are very popular. We've got dozens, hundreds, if not thousands of conversations on the site about them. Lots of great articles. So just search direct mail on Bigger Pockets and you'll get a ton of great tips. So direct mail, check it out.
Cool. All right, number 23, the secret to direct mail, this is a tip, is repetition. You've heard pretty much every guest we've had that uses direct mail, they say the same thing, is contact people over and over and over again. Aaron Mazzarillo said on, I think it was show 38, that the letter on their table the day that they decide to sell is who they're going to sell to. And so, you know, don't be a one and done mailer, unless, of course, it makes sense for your niche. Like last week with Seth Williams, he does that with land, but it makes more sense for him. But
yeah. Yep. And there is an art also to this. And we have covered that in previous shows, knowing when an event's going to happen and making sure that you send direct mail in the lead up to that event, like a foreclosure or things like that. So definitely pay attention to that.
We're always looking for ways to improve, searching for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for better is by matching with quality candidates. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of the show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Just go to Indeed.com/BiggerPockets right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Indeed.com/BiggerPockets. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Whether you need to buy or sell, or you're just obsessed with looking at homes for sale, Redfin's got you covered. Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes to help you see new homes first. And they give you personalized recommendations based on the homes you like, so you can find a home that's just right for you, whether that's a cabin, a craftsman, or a castle. With the top-rated Redfin app, you can favorite homes, share listings with others, and schedule tours even on the same day, with a local Redfin agent who can help guide you through the whole home buying process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents have the experience to help you get the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With a listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards what matters most to you, like your next home. In fact, last year, Redfin saved home sellers $127 million. No matter where you are in your real estate journey, Redfin can help. Download the Redfin app to get started today. As home prices and interest rates continue to rise and inventory levels dip, it's getting harder to find quality flips and wholesale deals. When there's not enough on-market inventory to go around, it's time to start looking off-market. Lucky for you, there are millions of homeowners nationwide who own a property they need to get off their hands. I got two words for you, my friend. PropStream it. PropStream is the leading real estate data provider and recognized as a Tech 100 honoree by Housing Wire for the fourth consecutive year. With PropStream, you can search over 155 million properties nationwide using 120-plus search filters like pre-foreclosure, bankruptcy, pre-probate, failed listings, and more to help you find motivated sellers in seconds. PropStream offers both public record data and an MLS sales estimate that's over 99% accurate to help you get the most accurate comps even in non-disclosure states. PropStream also provides lead automation, skip tracing, and a marketing suite with emails, postcards, and custom landing pages to close more deals efficiently. Get started today with their 7-day free trial and get 50 leads for free. Head on over to www.propstream.com/BP. That's www.propstream.com/BP. Want to dive deep into commercial real estate, entrepreneurship, leadership, and the economy? Tune into the Walker webcast hosted by the CEO of Walker & Dunlop, one of the largest commercial real estate finance and advisory services firms in the nation. As an unparalleled leader in commercial real estate, CEO Willie Walker frequently appears as an expert on major platforms like CNBC and the New York Times. He's even been on the Bigger Pockets podcast network, too. On the Walker webcast, you'll hear from guests like A-Rod, renowned economist Dr. Peter Linneman, and experts from Walker & Dunlop's capital markets, research, and investment sales groups. So fire up the Walker webcast on your favorite podcast app or join live on Wednesdays to see Willie interact with his guests. Plus, you can always catch the replay on demand afterward. Stay ahead of the curve with insights for life from the Walker webcast. Learn more and subscribe to the Walker webcast at walkerdunlop.com/pockets. And be sure to follow Walker & Dunlop on all your favorite social media channels too. That's walkerdunlop.com/pockets.
Another tip about direct marketing for tip number 24 is if you're sending to a really large list, either spread out your letters throughout the month so you aren't flooded with calls all at one time, or use a voicemail service like Google Voice so that all the calls are sent to voicemail and you could do some pre-screening and call people back on your own time. You know, if you think about it, right, you can do the math, right? I send X number of letters, I'm going to get X number of responses. And some people might say, oh, okay, well, I want to do 10 times that many deals, so I'm going to send out 10 times as many postcards. But if you don't have the infrastructure, you're going to get flooded and you're not going to be able to get back to people in time. You're going to be on the phone constantly. And until you build that team out, you know, most of those leads are going to go to waste. So, you know, start small and kind of work your way up.
Yep. Perfect. All right. Another good phone tip comes from the episode number show 21 with Jerry Puckett. And he mentioned when somebody calls and doesn't leave a message, text them back. If it just, you know, you don't pick up and they don't leave a message. Yeah, I thought that was an awesome idea. It just kind of makes it so you're not bothering them if they really don't want to talk to you, but it still leaves the door open.
It's a good tip, except some people like me think it's creepy.
Maybe, but, you know, what are they going to do?
yell at you.
Maybe. Get used
or
to
something.
It.
Yeah. You should. No, it's you know, I think it's a great tip. I personally, if somebody texts me that I don't know, I just don't respond.
Yeah, but you had just called them anyway, so it, you know.
Whatever.
Whatever.
You want to argue about it? You want to fight?
You want to
fight? Jeez, man. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. All right, tip 26. When dealing with direct mail, look for motivation and equity. If someone has motivation but no equity, there isn't a whole lot you can do for them other than maybe a short sale. If they've got equity, lots of equity, but no motivation, there probably isn't much you can do. What you want to do is you want to focus on those who have both equity and motivation. Remember, as a real estate investor, your job is to help people solve problems. And if they don't have problems, then there's no motivation. Yep. If they've got problems, they're motivated. And then you could step in and help them resolve that. So you want to find somebody who's got both of those things happening, and that'll help you get the deal.
All right. Number 27 and 28 are a little bit in a category of themselves. It's kind of about networking. So number 27, get some business cards and just start handing them out. Don't stress about it. Just go order some from Staples if you don't have any, or Vistaprints or Moo.com, whoever. And then go to like RIA's Chamber of Commerce meetings or anywhere where, you know, professional people get together. And start handing them out.
Courthouse steps.
Courthouse steps. Yes, that's right.
Hand them out. Give them out. Let people know who you are, that you're the guy. You're the man.
You're the guy. You're the man now, dog.
You're the man now, dog.
There we go. You
that was Sean Connery, right?
That was Sean Connery. Nice. Nice job.
There you go.
Yeah. Go to yourethemannowdog.com, people. It'll make you laugh. Anyway, number 28.
Yeah. Why don't you do it since you paired them all together?
All right. So consider starting your own local real estate club or meetup. I'm not talking about a guru pitch fest. I'm talking about an actual like networking event. And you don't have to be like a seasoned professional to do it, to gather, you know, like-minded people together. And you can actually build your reputation quite a bit just by being that guy who brings people together. It's like the connector. Everyone likes the connector. So yeah, start a meetup.
Everyone likes the connector.
Is that a song?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. I was like, I didn't even know that.
You know, and along those lines, you can also use BiggerPockets to do that. And yep. I know that Brandon's actually put together a couple articles on that topic, how to use BiggerPockets to set up your own local BP meetup of folks. And hopefully we'll link to those in the show notes as well.
That we will.
Yes, yes. All right. So why don't we move on from marketing and talk about what happens when dealing with sellers, otherwise known as the negotiation.
Negotiation.
That was creepy.
I tried.
All right. Tip 29. Brandon, good tip. Ready?
All right.
Shut up and listen.
Okay.
That's nice. That's Thanks. Nice. Yeah. All right, so shut up and listen, guys. Seriously, a seller is going to tell you a lot of things. So before you start talking, negotiating, and try to make things happen, just literally sit back and listen. What's the reason they're selling? Use words like tell me more to go deeper into the issues. They may act, for example, like the price is their number one concern. But in reality, if you're paying attention, it might be that their monthly budget or losing their job or one of a million other things is really what's troubling them. And if you actually listen and don't have to talk on top of them, you'll know what's going on and you'll be at their pain point where you could come in and help them. So that's tip 29.
Oh, I'm sorry. Were you talking? I wasn't paying attention. All right, tip number 30.
Tip number 30, what is this? No.
yeah. I'm paying attention. All right, tip number 30, try to think creatively when talking with sellers. And because a lot of times people think they're 100% firm on price and they might be more flexible in other areas like terms or monthly payment, or maybe you could structure the deal a little bit differently. For example, let's say they don't have a lot of equity, maybe you could do a lease option. You know, that's a you know, decent option for people who don't have equity, a lease option or short sale. So anyway, be creative.
There you go. Be creative. Tip 31 is closely related to creativity, and that's to focus on speed.
Not the drug.
You're funny, man. You're getting funnier.
Oh, like, look at me.
All right, so in today's world, guys, people are used to having things like right now. There's no time to think, which, by the way, is a great book if you want to know anything about the changing speed of the media landscape that we're in today. by Charles Feldman and Howard Rosenberg. Fantastic book. And I was actually a researcher on the book, which is why I bring it up.
Nice.
But how about that plug? No time to think. So use that to your advantage, right? It may seem crazy, but people may be willing to sell for tens of thousands of dollars less if you can close your deal next week instead of next month. So get out there and make it happen for sure. Nice, nice. Brandon is actually holding up the book, No Time to Think, right now, which is pretty cool. I didn't know you had it.
Yeah, you recommended it once. I bought it. I never read it yet.
That's awesome. It's kind of like, what's that book that you recommended to me? Oh, All of Them.
Yeah, All of Them. You started 4-Hour Work Week, though.
I did. I'm on page like 28, and nice. I've been on 28 for about a week and a half. So
nice. Good job. Well, you know, yeah. Sometime Sweet. In all your extra downtime, you can read. All right. Next one. Number 32. Do not be afraid of the word no. The truth is a lot of deals simply aren't going to work out. So don't try to force one. It's far better to buy one great deal than 100 crappy deals. So focus on the great deal that you know you can profit from instead of the 100 deals that you have to force. So be patient.
No means no, folks.
No means no.
That's right. All right, let's move on to the next topic, and that's tips for investing while holding a full-time job. Both Brandon and I work full-time, and probably more, so we certainly understand that this can be tough. So why don't we move to tip 33? Tip 33 is evaluate what kind of investing will fit your current lifestyle. If you're working, say, 80 hours a week, my guess is flipping houses is probably not going to be an ideal solution for you.
Oh, so that's why it's not working. I get it.
Yeah. Yeah, there you go. So, yeah, listen, find – you're fired. Find investment niches and strategies that fit with your job. And since Brandon's fired, I'll move on to 34. No, just kidding. So no, seriously, like, you know, a lot of new investors don't realize this, but it really is important. Like, flipping houses is a job. Yeah. You can't flip, especially starting out, until you've built systems and processes. You can't do it on the side. You really can't. I mean, there's just so much required. So, you know, think about all these things when you're deciding on the strategy and the niche that you're going to be focusing on.
Yeah. I know it's easy to get like the, you know, the shiny object syndrome when listening to the Bigger Pockets podcast. Cause it's like, oh, I want to do that. And oh, I want to do that. And oh, I want to do that. But yeah, pick.
Didn't I fire you already? Why are you still here?
I'm staying. All right. Number 34.
No means no, Brandon.
Number 34. You've got to have a business mindset or you will go crazy. Trust me. Like, you need to develop systems to handle your business so that you are not a bottleneck within your business. So that's basically the idea. If you guys have read The E-Myth or The 4-Hour Work Week, it's that you got to turn your business into a machine that runs smoothly with or without your direct involvement. So it doesn't mean you're going to never work at it. And I think a lot of people misunderstand things like The E-Myth or 4-Hour Work Week. They think that you're trying to get out of work, but it's not about getting out of work as much as it is getting out of being a clog in that work. So anyway, a good example of that, having a maintenance guy you can call. I mean, you might be, you know, Handy Manny, but if you are out of town and you can't fix a leak and you don't have anybody to call, you're going to stress out and have a problem and you're going to have a bad day and can't go on vacation and whatever else. So anyway, systems, good things.
Nice. Nice. And that leads us to our next quick tip, which is don't be afraid of property management. You guys want you want to plan for it. When we talked earlier about the 50% rule, we talked about all the expenses that come into play when you're buying a rental property, investment property. But property management is something that you need to plan for, even if you're not actually paying a property manager per se. So when you're just starting out, it's easy to say, "Well, I'll just manage myself, so I don't need to budget for it." It's a huge mistake, because there might be a time when you are forced to use that property management, but if you don't budget for it, you're probably not going to be able to afford it. So even if you're going to manage your own property, make sure to do the math as if you're going to hire it out. I think a safe bet is to factor in about 12% for property management just in case. So definitely budget for that number. It's really going to be key, because you know what? If you're doing the job, you know, you're spending your time working. Yeah. So, you know, you need to be compensated for that time as well somehow. And that's that's how it kind of all works out.
And nobody told me that when I was starting. Like, I didn't have the Bigger Pockets podcast to hear that. And so I didn't all my first houses, I never budgeted for property management. And now if I'm going to add it on, all of a sudden it doesn't make, you know, it makes my cash flow, supposedly properties, no longer cash flow good properties.
Losers.
Yeah. So anyway, I wish I had known that when I started. But, yep. You know. But now I can know that based on experience and tell everyone else.
There you go.
All right. Number 36. Speaking of property management, if you do hire a property management, don't settle for a mediocre one. Find a great property manager because, I mean, these people are in charge of your collective financial destinies. So, yeah, find somebody who actually does an amazing job, gets units rented, obeys the laws, follows everything. I mean, it'll save you a ton of time and a ton of money in the end.
Yeah, and we've got a lot of articles on that topic on the Bigger Pockets blog. We also have an interview worksheet, which I put together years ago after suffering through some horrible hells caused by terrible property management. And so what I did was I compiled a property management interview worksheet, and we'll link to that in the show notes as well. Check it out, print it out, do what you want with it, but make sure to ask all those questions when you're hitting up property managers so you've got something in writing and you know you can compare them evenly across the board.
Yeah, good tip.
Yeah, there you go. All right, tip 37. Another tip for those of you who are working a job and looking to buy an investment property is to set your criteria extremely tight and don't waste your time on properties that don't meet those requirements. Realize that you do have a limit on the amount of time that you've got in your life. You know, your free time is certainly limited because you're working a job. So focus on your specific niche and criteria and do not deviate. It's really easy to do. So, you know, focus on that. Do not deviate. You could probably actually even set up automatic alerts with your real estate agents once you've created those criteria. For example, say you want small multifamily properties between 2 and 4 units that are under $200,000 in a specific location. This way, you're not looking at that fiveplex that just came on the market or the single family home that popped up. You know, you might miss potentially some good deals, but when you're working a full-time job, that's something that's going to come with the territory.
Yeah.
Focus, and go from there.
And that kind of comes back to that tip we had earlier about not forcing a deal. Like when you're working a full-time job, you can't always take the time to try to be super creative and force every property into a deal. I mean, if it works, it works. If not, move on. All right. Number 38. Finally, find an agent that is good with online signatures. Because seriously, this saves a ton of time. When my agent started sending me all these documents to sign and I could just take my iPhone out and sign them right there, that was like life-changing. An offer became like a two-hour event down to like a two-minute event. So totally changed my investing life.
Nice.
So, yeah.
And who do you use, by the way? Because I use EchoSign for online signatures. Who do you use?
Who does that company? I don't remember, actually. But I don't like them as much as like EchoSign. I've used EchoSign too, but my agent doesn't use EchoSign, so I use this subpar one.
Nice. Yeah.
But it still works.
Right. Yeah, there you go. All right, so we've got two final tips for you guys. 39. It's really, 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 really easy to get overwhelmed. On this show in particular, we're talking about 40 different tips, but you don't need to master each and every one of them. Just, you know, sit back, relax, take a deep breath, and know that you actually don't need to know everything. I think that paralysis by analysis thing comes up from people who just think they have to have the answer to everything before they jump into something. You know, start by taking baby steps, but start. You know, don't wait, don't deviate, just get it going. Start today, like right now. You know,
go.
Do it now. Like, stop listening to the show and go do something. No, don't stop listening. All right. The show is about over. So when it ends, you know, go out and follow at least one of these tips. You know, maybe it means calling up a real estate brokerage, local brokerage to find a good investor-friendly agent. Maybe it means calling back that motivated seller you've been putting off because you're scared to hop on the phone. Maybe it means getting in your car, driving around your target neighborhood, driving for dollars. Whatever it is, just go do it. Just do it. Baby step. Make it happen. Do it, Brandon.
Do it. All right. Our last tip for the day is, okay, it's a little self-serving, but it's important nonetheless. But it's definitely jump into the BP forums with your deals. Like, honestly, if you have a deal that you think, hey, this might be a good option, like, take it to the forums. You don't, if you're worried about somebody, you know, stealing your deal, which you shouldn't be, but if you are, you know, don't put the address down, but, you know, say, you know, here's what I'm thinking. Here's what the rent will be. Here's what the price is. What do you guys think? It's really, really, really helpful to jump in, especially if you're new, but to jump in and talk to other people who might also be in the same boat as you, or those who are super seasoned and they know what they're doing and they can help you walk through it. And there's so many guys that I'm grateful for who have helped me over the years to look at deals from kind of another angle and tell me if I'm on the right track or not.
Yeah. Yeah. And guys like John Holdman and Will Bernard and Jay Scott, you know, a lot of these folks will, you know, they'll write a whole diatribe about, you know, what on earth, you know, you're doing right, what you're doing wrong. And I think Brandon explained it's free.
Yeah.
There's literally no cost to you. So, you know, go to the analysis forum, put down the deal and ask for help. Are these numbers good? Are they bad? You know, what should I do? You know, what can I do differently and get it out there? So that's a great tip. And we will, of course, link to the analysis form in our show notes as well at biggerpockets.com/show40.
Cool.
Yeah. So that was 40 tips. Not bad.
Not bad.
Not bad. You know, it's been about an hour since we started recording, given all the cuts that we'll probably have to make to this thing. It'll be a little shorter, but listen, hopefully you guys can take those 40 tips and apply them to your life this week. Make it happen, right? As always, we do want to thank you guys for supporting us for the past 40 shows. It's I don't know. I think of it as an honor to get to hang out with you guys each and every week and talk about real estate and, yeah, more importantly, really just get to make fun of Brandon for a good hour and a half. So that's a lot of fun.
Yeah, everyone loves that.
Yeah. No, but seriously, thank you guys for everything, for being part of our Bigger Pockets community. This isn't a tip and this is kind of off book, but you know, we've got 13,000 plus listeners now on the podcast. And if you guys get value from this community, and you're not engaging and you're not connecting on our site on a regular basis, it doesn't have to be every day. It doesn't have to be every hour, although that would be great. You know, get involved, really. Get involved. Jump in. You know, you may think, hey, I have nothing to say. But, you know, if you set up alerts, you know, for local discussions, for topics that are of interest to you, like multifamily or, you know, lease option, whatever it is, whatever is interesting to you, you're going to find out that there's a ton of awesome stuff happening. There's a ton of people on the site who are connecting and sharing great ideas. And they're doing it and it costs you absolutely nothing. You don't have to spend a lot of money to learn. You don't have to spend a lot of money to build your network. You just have to interact, you know, take a couple minutes and introduce yourself, you know, welcome other members in your area, you know, get involved in debates, discussions, conversations, help people, give them tips. You know, you actually learn by teaching many times. And I think that's a great thing that happens daily on our site. So, give it a go if you haven't yet jumped in on the site and or if you've jumped in with one post and haven't done any more, you know, give it a try. You know, you'll find that it's really a warm and friendly environment and a great place to hang out.
It is. Yeah, I mean, I've been on there now for what, like 5, 6, 7 years, who knows, forever. And I'm asking questions all the time. Like, I'm not just, you know, the get made fun of on the podcast guy. Like, I actually, like, I'm in there asking questions a lot because I'm learning a ton as I grow in my investing. So anyway, please, you know, jump in. And also, if you guys appreciate the site and the community, you know, pay it forward. Tell other people about Bigger Pockets. You know, there's like, what, 27 million investors in America or something like that, we figured out, like, in that survey we did. But not all of them are on BP, and you know, they don't all have to be on there, but it'd be cool to have, you know, a bunch of them.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's not just self-serving, because the more of this interaction that happens on the site, the better it is for you. So yep. you're building your brand, you're building your name, people are getting to know you and recognize you. And so engaging is definitely going to help you. By the way, that study was done. That was a Bigger Pockets Memphis Invest study.
Man, speaking of Memphis Invest.
We did it in coordination with Memphis Invest. And Memphis Invest is, of course, the sponsor of today's show, who we want to thank once again for being our sponsor. So definitely make sure to check those guys out at blog.memphisinvest.com/BP. All right, guys. So you know, again, beyond the usual, following us on Facebook and Twitter and all the other social media channels, which we hope you do, and the interacting on the site, you know, Brandon did say spread the word. I can't tell you how cool it is to watch the site grow. Next week is going to be the 9th birthday of Bigger Pockets. So next Tuesday. And I don't know, you know, we're at 140,000 members. I remember the first member. I remember the 5th, the 10th. You know, I don't remember the 138,333rd. But, you know, it's really special to see this thing grow. I've really, really enjoyed being a part of so many people's lives and watching so many people benefit from this community. And, you know, if you're on the site, if you're an investor and you get value from it, just tell your friends, you know, tell your agent and tell your title company and tell your lender and appraiser and everyone else to come on board. You know, if you do that, you're going to bring them value. They're gonna learn more. They're gonna derive value. They might get more clients and customers and business as a result. And you know, we'll take this thing from, you know, the 140,000 members to 200,000, 500,000, and more. And the more people we have, the more information there is from the collective, right? And for all you Star Trek fans, you know, there is power in the Borg. There is power in the collective mindset. So come in. Get your folks in and let's hang out and learn and do business together. So cool. Show 40. Thank you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for engaging. Jump on the show notes, biggerpockets.com/show40. And that's it for me. What do you think, B? How do we do?
We did.
All right, guys. This is Josh Dorkin signing off.
You're listening to Bigger Pockets Radio, simplifying real estate for investors large and small. If you're here looking to learn about real estate investing without all the hype, you're in the right place. Be sure to join the millions of others who have benefited from BiggerPockets.com, your home for real estate investing online.
There's a reason small multifamily investing is so popular in the Bigger Pockets community. With just a 3.5% down payment, you can own up to 4 different units. Think about it. If you house hack and live in one of the units, you still have 3 different groups of tenants helping you pay down your mortgage every month, 4 kitchens and bathrooms you could renovate to increase your property value, 4 different Airbnbs, medium-term rentals, or other rental strategies that you can try in one property, all in just one transaction. Of course, the question is, where do you find a small multifamily property that you can actually afford? Which market and which deals are best for you? Once you close, how do you manage it, optimize it, keep scaling, and living your life without being tied down to 4 leaky toilets or 4 fussy tenants? All great questions, my friends. All to be answered in the upcoming Small Multifamily Bootcamp with Chris Lopez and Leka Devatha. So if you're serious about growing your portfolio with this highly efficient strategy, head to biggerpockets.com/4, F-O-U-R, today and join us in the Small Multifamily Bootcamp. See you there.
The content of this podcast is for informational purposes only.
Past performance is not indicative of future results, and all hosts and participant opinions are their own.
Investment in any asset, real estate included, involves risk. Use your best judgment and consult with qualified advisors before investing. Only risk capital you can afford to lose.
Bigger Pockets LLC disclaims all liability for direct, indirect, consequential, or other damages arising from reliance upon information presented in this podcast.